your Bibles to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20. If you don't have a Bible and you'd like one, our happy ushers will be in the aisles now. You can lift up your hand and they'll be more than glad to give you a Bible. Our goal here is to teach you the Word of God. It's the Bible, the Word of God that makes the difference in our lives. And that's where we want to put our faith at and what we want to put our faith on. I was telling first service, I was listening to a CD, I think it was 2 weeks ago or some time ago. And anyway, it was talking about church growth and growing a church. And they said, you know what, you don't want to open up the Bible too much. You know, a lot of churches, you never even open your Bible up at all. And they were saying, you don't want to open up the Bible too much because, you know, there may be some people there who are not familiar with the Bible and they may get intimidated by trying to find scriptures and all of those things. And so I immediately expelled the CD out of my home and made sure it would never be found again. The purpose of church is to teach you the Bible so that when you get home, you do know where things are at. That our faith is not to stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And the power of God can only be found in and on the Word of God. Matthew chapter 17. And let's read this scripture in verse 20. This is an amazing scripture. And one that we could all readily read this morning and mentally agree with. But my prayer even before the service was this. That this scripture is so big and so rich, if you will, with power, that it really is going to take the Holy Spirit's help to drop this scripture into our hearts where we really believe what Jesus is saying. So let's open up our hearts as we read this. And Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20, it says, "And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief." Now what had happened here was, there was a father who brought his boy, who was demon-possessed, to the disciples, asking them to cast the demon out. And they weren't able to do it. And Jesus walked up, and the man told them the story of how he brought his son to the disciples, and they weren't able to do anything about it. And Jesus cast the demon out of the boy. And at the end of all this, the disciples came to Jesus, and they said, "Why weren't we able to produce? Why weren't we able to deal with that situation the way that you dealt with it?" And Jesus is answering their question here in verse 20. And Jesus said, "It's because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you will say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing will be impossible unto you." Let's read this again in verse 20. "And Jesus said unto them," let's stop right there. Who's talking here? This is Jesus. This is the head of the church. We can take his words to the bank. "Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you will say," that's a key phrase, "unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing will be impossible to you." To the believer, to those who are the possessor of faith, and I'll go beyond that, to those who not only possess faith, but make a firm decision to use that faith, Jesus said, for that individual, nothing will be impossible to them. Now, why is that? Because what is our faith in? Our faith is in who? It is in God. Have faith in God. Mark chapter 11 and verse 22 tells us. Have faith in God. God is supreme in authority. Supreme in strength. Like we said last week, for our God, there is nothing that is too hard for Him. And faith makes a decision to draw upon that higher power. It's not that faith is moving mountains or faith is changing our life. It is the tool that we use as believers to bring God into our life. And when God is brought into our life, brought into our homes, brought into our business, brought into our finances, brought into our bodies, there is bound to be radical success. The reason why nothing is impossible to him that believeth is because there's nothing impossible to God. And when we are exercising faith, it is drawing upon that power. I wrote this at the top of my notes right before I came out of for second service. Why be defeated in life when there is a higher power we can draw on? Why sit and be defeated and blame all of these other reasons as to why we're not producing? When Jesus says, if you are the possessor of faith and you decide to use it, start speaking to mountains. Start speaking over your life. Nothing is impossible to you. Well, people say, well, I wish that was me. Oh, I wish that was me. But you know, my faith is just not there. I don't have that great faith. I want to believe, but I just don't know if my faith is up to that level. You know what I'll do? I'll get Pastor Joel to pray for me at the end of service. He's paid to have faith. We'll go and we'll get the pastor to pray for us, or we'll go down to the prayer chain, you know, and get them and get a lot of people praying, because, you know, to turn this situation around, you've got to have great faith. And, you know, I just don't know if I really know how to pray just yet, or really know all of this faith business. That's why I love this scripture. It's because Jesus looked at those disciples and he spoke to you and me and he said something amazing. He said, if you have faith the size of a grain of mustard seed and you use it, you start speaking to mountains. He says, nothing will be impossible to you. He immediately put everyone, every person who's ever heard anything about God on an even playing field. He said it's not a matter of having great, big, giant faith. He said you can have itty-bitty faith, the size of a grain of mustard seed. But if you take great, big action, that if you step out and simply begin using the faith that you have, nothing would be impossible to you. Jesus is not lying. He's not exaggerating. He's not throwing out words. He's serious. And he's saying that your life can come into a place where there are no limitations if you will simply use the faith that you have. Start where you're at. We should all be striving to increase our faith. That's part of the reason why we come to church, is to hear the word of God. Faith comes how? It comes by hearing, and hearing by the what? Word of God. How do you know you're hearing the word of God? How do you know this Bible is being taught right? Faith will always come with it. If you are sitting in a church and fear is coming, you are not hearing the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's how you always know what you're hearing. If you're hearing something that's inspiring faith, it's God's word. We should all be endeavoring to grow and build our faith. We should all be desiring to do that. We're supposed to live by faith, so obviously it's something we should grow in. But what Jesus is saying here is that no matter where you find your life at presently, no matter where your faith is at, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed and you use it, nothing will be impossible to you. I heard a story and actually inspired an idea that we're doing at the end of service as you exit. But I heard a story about a man named Maurice Flint. This was years and years ago. But Maurice apparently was a very critical individual. He had personal abilities that were very nice. He had good talents, if you will. But his attitude towards life was just very negative. He'd go after something, but then give up on it as soon as he got into it and blame other people and blame everything else as to why it wasn't working and just very, very negative. And because of that, it was taking a toll on his family. He was married with two boys. And he also was having it take a toll on his health and even on his job. And in the middle of all this, he got a hold of a little pamphlet, a little book that was entitled Mustard Seed Faith. And it was going over what we're talking about today, that if you just have itty bitty faith, nothing can be impossible to you. And so he read that, and as he was reading that, it really sparked his interest. And he decided that he would contact the man who put out the book. And it turned out that this man was a preacher who had a church up in New York. He lived in Philadelphia. And so he contacted the office and finally got a hold of someone. And they told him when service times were and when it began. And so every week he would drive his family from Philadelphia all the way to New York to go to this church. He'd go there and hear messages like you're hearing now, that it doesn't matter where you're at or what you're facing. If you change your attitude and you start not just being positive, but having a faith in the living God, that God loves you and desires to help you in this life. He started hearing messages like that. And as he's hearing that, faith is coming. And finally, a couple of weeks went by and the pastor taught on that little pamphlet, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, nothing shall be impossible to you. They went home and the next day he woke up and he approached his wife and said, you know, I think that preacher may be on to something. He said, but I find that when I'm there at the church and I'm around that type of atmosphere, faith is easy to come by. I mean, it's just real easy to be in faith and to be positive and excited because you're in that atmosphere with fellow believers. He said, the problem is when I come home, I forget to use my faith. And this is where so many people are at. The reason why people's lives aren't changing is not because faith doesn't work. And it's not because people don't have faith. It's that the majority of people simply don't use the faith that they have. And he said, I need something to remind me to use my faith. He said, do we have any mustard seeds around here? Is that just something that they talk about in the Bible? He didn't know if it was a real seed. She said, yeah, we have some. They're in a jar. And she reached for the jar and she had a couple of mustard seeds there. And he got it and he pulled one out. And he said, are you kidding me? That's how small a mustard seed is. And Jesus said, if I have faith just that small, if I use it, nothing's impossible to me. He said, I know what I'll do. I'll put it in my pocket. And so he put it in his pocket, and his goal was that every time he'd reach in his pocket for something, he would feel the seed. And when he felt the seed, it would inspire him to use his faith, to begin speaking over his life blessings instead of cursings. To begin blessing his family and blessing his job. And so he did that. The problem was he kept losing his seed. They were so small that it would just slip out and he would lose it. So he started trying to think of a way to put it in some type of plastic sphere. So he went to a guy who was supposed to be an expert in plastics. you know, asking if they had any type of round ball he could put the seed into. And his goal was, you know, keep the ball in his pocket and or attach it to his keychain, something like that, where he could hold on to the mustard seed a little bit better. And the expert said it had never been done before. And since it had never been done before, it must be impossible. And it's funny how experts think. Anyway, so he didn't get discouraged by that. He decided he would attempt to make his own. And sure enough, he did. He made a whole bunch of little spheres and plastic spheres and put mustard seeds in them. He put one just as a ball in his pocket. He put another one on his watch chain and another one on a bracelet that his wife could wear. And the goal was, is that every time they looked at that mustard seed, they would use their faith. And so they're excited about it. And so to thank the minister who put out the pamphlet, he sent these items to him. He made some up for him and sent it to him and said, you know, thanks for the teaching on mustard seed faith. And me and my wife were committed to using them. And when the preacher saw it, he said, this is a great idea. I know other people who would like to have one of these. And so he said, you know, you should contact this person. He gave him the name of a contact who wrote a magazine. And they contacted them. And this person knew a guy who owned a department store. And she called this guy who owned the department store asking if he'd like to sell these little mustard seed. He called them mustard seed remembrancers, something like that. And so the department store manager looked at it. When he looked at it, he said, this is a great idea. I would love to have them. So he puts them in the store. He starts placing orders from this man and his wife who was struggling financially, but using their little bit of faith that they had. And they start selling these things to the store so they can sell. It caught on so big that it got printed not only in the newspaper there locally, but in several other newspapers across the state. Then it got in a national magazine about how this man had these little mustard seed containers to remind you to use your faith. And people from all over the state started wanting one of these things. It got so big, he had to open up his own factory to start manufacturing spheres with mustard seeds in it. It's more than just a great idea, friend. That's what faith does, is it goes to work and he begins opening up doors of possibilities. Doors that you could never open in the natural, in your own strength. Faith can open up those doors for you. Unlock possibilities. So when you leave, we didn't have any mustard seed spheres, but we did. I had my staff, and God bless them, because I know it was a work of love. When you leave, you'll walk out with a little packet with some mustard seeds in it, and hopefully it reminds you to use the faith that you currently have. But I want to inspire you real simply this morning that, yeah, we should all be striving for great big faith. But Jesus said, if you've got itty bitty faith and you take great action with that faith, nothing is impossible to you. Let me give you an example out of the Word of God. Go over to the book of Mark. We're in Matthew. Go to Mark. Mark chapter 5 here. And let's look in verse 25. Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. Here we see a woman, and we'll pick up reading here in verse 25. A certain woman which had an issue of blood for 12 years. Verse 26. And she had suffered many things, many physicians, had spent all that she had, but was nothing better. Instead, she grew worse. So here you have an individual who's got a severe need in her life. She's been dealing with this illness for over 12 years. And with this, she's not just sitting back and not doing anything. How many of you know in life we do need to work and put our hand to the plow? She's doing everything that she can in the natural to produce results. She's gone to every doctor in the area. She spent every bit of the money that she had. But in spite of doing all of these natural things, it seemed like she couldn't make any progress. She couldn't make any headway. For 12 years, she did this. And so here she is in this state that medical science at that time had called impossible to be delivered from. And in this state, she's sitting in her house and something happens. Watch what happens here in verse 27. When she had heard of Jesus. Now, that's all we know that happened in her life that began to produce radical change. There wasn't a church like this down the street that she could go to every Sunday and hear a message that inspired faith. We don't get the idea from that statement that she had ever actually heard Jesus preach in person. She hadn't walked with the Lord like the disciples had for year after year. All we know is that at some point in her life, she heard of Jesus. She must have heard that Jesus heals because it inspired faith in her. But this is what I want to get at. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 17. If you have just itty-bitty faith, mustard seed faith, and you use that faith that you have by speaking to the mountains in your life, nothing will be impossible to you. This woman had this little seed of faith, not a huge sermon, Not a faith seminar, not a faith devotional to read every morning. She just heard of Jesus. This little itty bitty seed of faith was sown into her heart. But you know what she did? She did what most people seem to fail to do. She started using the little faith that she had. And watch what she does. She hears of Jesus. Faith came when she heard of him. And she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she did what? She did what? For she did what? She said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be made whole. Now, let's keep reading here. We'll come back to that. Verse 29, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? His disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and you want to know who touched you? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. What made her whole? Her faith. Notice God didn't say, Jesus didn't say, my power made you whole. If he did, then all of us would have to wait for God's power to touch us to be whole, to have nothing missing, nothing broken in our life. But he didn't say my power. Was his power in manifestation? Yes, it was. On that day when she touched the hem of his garment with that touch of faith, he felt virtue, power go out of him. But that it was the touch of faith that released that power. Well, what did this woman do to have such great faith that made her whole? She heard of Jesus. That seed of itty bitty faith was sown into her heart. And then she took massive action. It wasn't just a whole big sermon on faith. Just she heard of Jesus. That little seed of faith was sown, but she took massive action. She got out of her house. There was a press around Jesus. So many people thronging him. She presses her way in her weakened state, presses her way all the way up to him where all she can reach is the hem of his garment. But when she touched that hem, the power of God was released into her body. But you know what she did in the middle of all that? Let's read it again, verse 28. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. This is before she ever touched the clothes. Before she's ever touching the clothes, she's saying, when I touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. The Amplified Version says, and she kept saying. Here you've got a woman. I mean, everything in the natural says this is impossible. You can't be made well. You can't break out of this condition. You've been to every doctor. You spent all your money and you're nothing better, but rather grew worse. But when that seed of faith was sown into her heart, she took massive action. She got out of her house, pressed through the multitude, and she kept saying, when I touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. When I touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. When I touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And guess what happened? When she touched the hem of his garment, she was made whole. When Jesus turned around and said, who touched me? Someone touched me. Power went out of me. The disciples said, Master, look around you. The multitude is thronging you, meaning there are people touching you all around. There was only one woman who got anything. Who was the one woman? It was this woman with this blood condition. Well, why did she get healed and the others didn't? It's not because God loved her more than he loved those other people. It was because when she touched with the hand of faith. Not great big giant faith, itty bitty faith. A little seed of faith that got sown into her heart. But Jesus said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, and you use that faith, nothing will be impossible to you. Go over the book of Mark. We'll close with this. Well, you're in Mark. Turn over a couple of pages to Mark chapter 11. And let's look at one of our golden texts here. Mark chapter 11 and verse 22 in closing. Oh, I love that sound of Bible pages turning. Amen. That's music to my ears. I'd like to record that and sleep to it. Mark chapter 11 and verse 22. I'm serious. Mark chapter 11 and verse 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Once again, Jesus, he never gave a suggestion. He's telling us, have faith. Faith in God. Your faith is to be in God. You are to wake up in the morning with faith in God. You are to go to church with faith in God. You're to approach your business with faith in God. You're to raise kids with faith in God. You're going to see your marriage turn around with faith in God. Have faith in God. That's wonderful. We're to have faith in God. But notice Jesus doesn't stop there. He keeps speaking. And watch what he says in verse 23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Sounds a lot like Matthew chapter 17, doesn't it? If you have faith the size of a mustard seed and you speak unto this mountain, go into yonder place, nothing shall be impossible unto you if you just simply use the faith that you have. Mark chapter 11, verse 22, have faith in God. Verse 23, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Jesus is saying, have an awesome faith in God. But even more than that, start using that faith. Speak to the obstacles in your life. Start blessing your life. Start speaking over your family, the blessings of God. I love it in the Old Testament. These great heroes of faith, even on their deathbed, would get other men to prop them up where they could lay hands on their grandkids and speak blessings over them. Blessing them with the power of their mouth. What are you saying about your job? What are you saying about your finances? What are you saying about your kids? What are you saying about your marriage? What are you saying about your wife? What are you saying about your husband? Jesus said, if you have just a small amount of faith and you start speaking right, nothing's impossible to you. Mark chapter 11, verse 23 says, you can have what you say. The woman with the issue of blood, her faith made her whole. What was her faith? Just a little itty bitty seed of faith sown into her heart. But then she used the faith that she had, for she said, when I touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. She said what she wanted and she got what she said. Friend, I want to encourage you. The power of faith is designed by God to be released through your words. Start speaking life over your life. I'll tell this story in my final closing. That was the last scripture. This is my last story. Like I said, I was reading in this book. That's a really, really solid book. But in it, it was telling the story about a businessman in the, I think it was late 40s, early 50s. But he had been moderately successful in his life and up till that time had not had any type of religious training or Christian experience. But was producing solid results in business and in life. But the industry that he was in was prospering pretty heavily because of the economy that was in the nation at that time. And with that, you know, it was kind of like a couple of years ago when the housing economy was just through the roof. You had a lot of people get into the building industry, get into construction. And when the economy turned and all of those different types of deals and different regulations were passed that made it harder to get home loans, that kind of thing, you had a lot of people in the same industry fighting for less and less clients. And that's what happened to his industry back then. He was seeing great results because the economy was good and government regulations were working in his favor and he was able to produce pretty good results. But all of that changed. The economy turned, and it didn't go into detail what happened, but the economy turned, and then to help combat that turn, the government started passing regulations that was cutting off this man's business. So now he's got regulations affecting his increase, but there are also a whole lot of people in the field fighting for less and less customers. And so in the middle of all this, one day he picks up a newspaper, and in the newspaper there was an article that someone had paid to be put in there that was talking about why not make God your business partner. In fact, the article had the phrase in it, effect a merger with God. And he read it and he thought, nah, it's just some preacher, you know, just talking, that kind of thing. But nevertheless, he read the article. Now, how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So even on the hardest of heart, a seed can still be sown. And that seed of faith was sown into his heart. This is why it's important what you keep before your eyes and what you keep before your ears. When he read that, that seed of faith was sown into his heart. Well, anyway, a couple of days passed and things were getting worse and worse and worse. Finally, he went into the office one day and he literally thought about committing suicide. He wanted to take his own life. And while these thoughts are racing through his mind, he gets another thought. And his mind goes back to the article that he read, why not make God your business partner and effect a merger with God? Now he said up until that time, he had only prayed maybe about a dozen prayers in his entire life. He said, I didn't feel like I know how to pray or what to pray. But he said, right then and there, I put my arms on my desk, folded them up, put my head on my arms, and I prayed a prayer. And the prayer went something like this. God, I'm asking you to be my business partner. I don't have much to give you in terms of business. I know that if you are all powerful, there's lots you can do for me. But he said, I submit myself to you. What you tell me to do, I'll do it. Where you tell me to go, I'll go. What you tell me to say, I'll say. I thank you that you're helping me turn this around however you can. He said, amen. And he said he was expecting some type of, you know, miraculous deal, you know, at the end of the prayer. And he said there wasn't anything like that. He said there was something different on the inside of him. He said there was a small measure of peace. He said before all I could come up with was panicky ideas. But he said there was a peace there now. He said, every morning I went into work, once again, this is not a faith champion. This is not someone hearing anything like you are hearing today. This is not someone who read a book. All he's read at this point is a little magazine article. But out of that, he's using the little faith that he had. And what did Jesus say? If you have faith the size of a mustard seed and you use it, nothing will be impossible to you. So he's simply using the faith that he has. Every morning he goes into work and does the same thing he did that day, puts his head on his arms, on his desk, and asks God to help him. He said, I talked to him. I didn't know how to talk church prayers. He said, all I knew how to talk was talk to him like a business partner. I'd lay it out in front of him and kind of have a little board meeting, talk about what I was facing and asking for his help with it. What is that? That's using faith. As simple as it is, it's using faith. He said, one morning I woke up and I loved how he put it. It was beautiful, the description that he gave, because this is often how God works. He said, one morning I woke up, went into the office, prayed the prayer, and he said, I don't know how else to explain it other than this, and it's a beautiful illustration. He said, it was like toast popping out of a toaster. He said, an idea just popped up within me. He said, at first I thought it was just a hunch, but then I realized it was the Lord talking to me. It was my business partner helping me. He said, because I never thought about business in that light before. I never thought that we could work in that way and produce results. And I saw immediately that that was a huge opportunity. If we maneuvered our business to that, that it would yield great success. And he said, sure enough, I did. I maneuvered the business that way. It yielded great success. I'm completely out of the woods now. The business is starting to prosper. And he's telling this to this preacher. That's how we know the story, is that the man who put the article was speaking at a Rotary Club, and this guy decided to attend and tell him his testimony. And he said to the preacher, he said, whenever you talk to businessmen, tell them that if they will take God as their business partner, they will get more good ideas than they can shake a stick at. And if they follow those ideas, it will yield success every time. Friend, I'm telling you, God can be your partner. He sent the Holy Spirit to be your helper. In the book of Mark, it said the Lord went with them, working with them. We are co-laborers with Christ. God is your Father, and he longs like any father to see his children successful. Not only does he want you successful, he wants to help make you successful because he loves you. He doesn't want you to be selfish. He doesn't want you to be ingrown, but he does want you to be successful so the strong can bear the burdens of the weak. He is very interested in every aspect of your life. He wants your health thriving. He wants your marriage thriving. He wants your kids thriving. He wants your business thriving. And not only does he want to help you, he is stating all throughout Scripture that he longs to exercise his power on your behalf. And the only thing he asks you and I to do is to use our faith, even if it's as small as a grain of mustard seed, to use the faith that we have. And when we do, nothing will be impossible to him that believeth. I want to encourage you, use your faith. Whether it's by doing something like that businessman did, or whether it's by speaking over your family on the way to work, or speaking over your job before you make the sales call. Whatever it is, begin using this power of faith. Use the faith that you have. And nothing will be impossible to you. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. We can take it to the bank. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Oh, you've been a wonderful audience. Let me pray before you leave this morning.